20th Century Fox. Presents Daryl F. Zanuck's production of Jesse James. With Tyrone Power, Henry Fonda, Nancy Kelly, and Randolph Scott. Directed by Henry King. Associate producer and original screenplay by Nunnally Johnson. Historical data assembled by Rosalind Schaefer and Joe Francis James. Photographed in Technicolor. After the tragic war between the states, America turned to the winning of the West. The symbol of this era was the building of the transcontinental railroads. The advance of the railroads was, in some cases, predatory and unscrupulous. Whole communities found themselves victimized by an ever-growing ogre, the Iron Horse. It was this uncertain and lawless age that gave to the world, for good or ill, its most famous outlaws, the brothers Frank and Jesse James. Outside a simple farmhouse.
Now listen, friend. The railroad's gonna come right smack through your land, and there ain't a thing in the world that you can do to stop it.
But, mister, a dollar an acre? Well, I paid $15 an acre for it. And then there's my home and the barn and the crop.
Well, take it or leave it, friend. But if you won't sell, all we gotta do is call in the government. They'll confiscate your land, and then you won't get nothing. But that's the way you want it.
The farmer turns to his wife.
What'll I do?
I don't know.
Mister! Mister!
Here he comes.
Mister!
Well?
I reckon if that's the way they're gonna do it.
Now you're talking sense. Can you write?
No, sir.
Here. Put your mark right there.
At another house.
I'm telling you like a friend, lady. If you won't sell, the government will take it from you. Now you can save yourself a lot of trouble by just signing now.
It's so little, $2 an acre. But if that's the way it is.
Don't sign it, Ma. Please don't. Let's see a lawyer first.
Oh,
please.
Now you're wasting your time, son.
Oh, let's see one anyway, Ma. We can go to town this evening and see Judge Harvey. He'll tell you what to do. Wait till you see him, please.
Right here,
oh, please, Ma. Please.
I suppose it can't hurt to talk to somebody first. You don't mind waiting till tomorrow, do you?
Well, it won't do you any good, but whatever you say, ma'am. No hard feelings, son.
Why, no, sir.
The boy is struck.
Trying to hold us up, huh? Trying to jack up the price, are you?
Leave him alone! Oh, don't hurt him! No, please! Leave him alone! Don't hurt him!
I'll sign it.
I will right now!
Don't sign it, Ma.
I will.
My arm, please let go.
Right there, ma'am.
Now, the well-dressed group of railroad representatives spot someone chopping undergrowth.
Howdy, bud.
The young man turns.
Sir? I just said howdy.
Oh, howdy.
What's your name?
James. Jesse James.
You own this farm?
No, but Mama does.
Where is she?
Up the house.
Thanks, bud.
Jesse goes back to work, then turns and watches the men travel up towards the house with a puzzled expression. A woman sitting in the front garden looks curious when she sees the railroaders come in through a gate in the fence surrounding the property.
Morning!
Oh. Good morning, ma'am. Are you the lady that owns this farm?
Yes, I am.
Well, my name's Bar Shee. I'm with the railroad. Now, we're coming through this way, you know.
Yes, I heard so.
I want to get this deed signed up. Now, if you'll just put your name right there.
For nothing?
No, no. We're paying a dollar an acre, just like to everybody else. That's the law. Everybody's getting the same thing, dollar an acre.
Seems mighty little, don't it?
Well, I can't help that, lady, but that's all you're going to get. So you might as well sign up now as later.
You mean right this minute?
Now, look, lady, we ain't got all day to hang around here. Now, you either take what I'm offering everybody else, or you'll get nothing. We'll get your land just the same.
Oh, but I wouldn't dream of signing a thing like that till I talk to some lawyer about it.
Are you going to waste my time with some jackleg lawyer? Your land ain't any different than anybody else's.
Well, no, there's no use talking. I'm not going to sign that thing right now.
Now, look, lady, I don't want to have any trouble with you.
Didn't you hear her say no?
Who are you?
That's my son, Frank.
Oh. Well, if you're so smart, how'd you like for the government to come along, condemn this land, and take it for nothing?
You like it.
And you better understand that I'm doing you folks a favor when I offer you a dollar an acre.
They want no favors.
Well, maybe you'd like to go to court about it.
Right at that.
Well, you folks have it your own way. All right, son. No hard feelings.
Frank!
Frank has punched Barshi.
Kind of tricky, ain't you?
Yeah. Get him, boys.
Oh, Frank! Frank!
Titus. You ain't gonna all jump on him, are you?
Jesse advances, holding his gun.
Back against the wall, you fellas. Keep your hands out of your pockets. You want to fight him, Frank?
Please, Frank, don't.
You can keep them others from running up my back.
Well, they ain't going to do anything. How are you, fellas?
Jesse, stop him. Stop him.
Sorry, Ma. He started it.
Oh, please, Jesse, don't let him. Oh, Frank.
As Frank and Barshi wrestle, Frank spits out a wad of chewing tobacco.
Oh, Jesse, stop him. Stop him.
Barshi takes a wild swing at Frank, who ducks and gives him a swift kick in the pants.
He's going to get hurt.
After more struggling, Frank knocks Barshi to the ground with one ringing blow.
Looks to me like he's got enough.
Who's next?
Think you can lick them all, Frank?
I'll fight them or arrest them if they'll come at me one at a time and pile them up under the tree.
You'll do nothing of the kind. Now, you men, get away from here. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Jesse shoots Barshi's hand.
Well, if he ain't the tricky one.
Now get off this land. All of you. Move along. And jump.
Barshi nurses his wounded hand as he and his gang get back in their carriage.
But we're still going to get this land just the same.
Jesse fires a warning shot, and the horses gallop off.
All right, son.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. It went black, and I got...
Come on in the house.
What's happened, Ma?
She fainted.
No, I didn't. I just got to lay down.
You better get Doc Hall.
Pinky! Pinky!
Yes, sir?
Get on your mule and go after Doc Hall. Tell him to hurry.
Yes, sir.
And Pinky.
Yes, sir.
After you get him started, get to all the farmers this side of Liberty. Mr. Crump, Mr. Clayton, Mr. Thompson, all of them. Tell them we're going to have a meeting, an important meeting, here tonight. Tell them to come as soon as they knock off work without fail.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the offices of the Liberty Weekly Gazette.
And, furthermore, if the St. Louis Midland don't know the way its agents are swindling the farmers, it's high time they found out. Comma. Because it's the gall-dangedest, dad-blastedest, consanguinest outrage ever perpetrated on a law-abiding citizenry in the whole history of the world. Paragraph. Ho-oh.
Barshi and his men arrive in town.
Trouble by gravy.
Uncle Ruth!
Huh?
You want me to take those cuss words out, don't you?
Oh, I guess so.
Major Rufus Cobb hurries to the marshal's office next door.
You mean you want to swear out warrants for their arrest?
I'm charging both Frank and Jesse James with assault with attempt to murder.
Glad they didn't finish.
Jesse?
Yes, while my back was turned.
Nice shooting.
If you'll swear in me and my men as deputies, we won't bother you anymore. We'll bring in these buckaroos ourselves. Tonight.
It's Jesse. He's in trouble.
No. What did he do? Uncle Rube!
You know that cuss words I told you to take out? Put them back in.
Uncle Rube! Uncle Rube!
What we got to do is chip in some money, whatever we can afford, and send down to St. Louis for a lawyer. We bought our land, built our homes, and raised our crops. And if we have to give them up, we got a right to a fair price for them.
You're right. Somebody done something.
We don't want any trouble, Jesse.
Well, not unless they start it, Ma. What we need is somebody that knows the law to tell us our rights and how to protect them.
Jesse's right. We need a lawyer.
Jesse! Frank! Jesse! Frank!
Jesse! Frank! You boys got to get out of here. They already got a warrant for you, and they're headed here now. So you got to skip out, both of you. I told Pinky to get your horses ready.
Ain't nobody going to arrest me.
I ain't going to run.
Now, listen, Jesse.
Oh, listen to the Major, Frank.
Don't you understand? You ain't got a chance. The St. Louis Midlands got this whole state hog-tied. They got the police, they got the courts, they got everything. A trial right now would be a joke. The railroad's got too much at stake to let two little farmer boys like you and Frank bollock things up.
We got a right to defend ourselves. Well, sure, Ma, but...
Jesse, do what the Major says. He's right.
All you gotta do is hide out like the governor or somebody to give you a fair trial, that's all.
But if we run away,
Jesse,
then...
please go like the Major says. If you don't, it'll mean trouble. I know it will. I couldn't stand it. I'm not well enough.
Master Frank.
Please go.
The horse is ready at the back gate.
All right, Ma, if it'll make you feel any better.
Oh, be awful careful, son.
No, don't worry, Ma.
Take care of him, Frank.
Yes, Ma.
Goodbye, Ma.
Major, Pinky will know where we are.
Pinky?
Yes, I know where it is. Be careful, boys. Be careful.
Frank and Jesse gallop away into woodland. Barshi and his posse are making their way along the road leading to the James property, where the farmers and their families are still assembled.
Now, ladies. Ladies, you all go down the road a piece and wait. There's apt to be a freight just here, and just let us men handle it. Go on, step along now. Just get right down there.
The Major turns to the men.
Now, men, listen to me. Yes. Let me do all the talking.
Yes, Major.
Here they come.
He draws a line in the dirt with his umbrella point, which the posse pay no attention to.
Evening, gentlemen.
Where's the James boys?
We got a warrant for them, Major.
They ain't here. They're gone. And if you want to know who got them away, it was me.
Easy, Major.
Shut up, Major.
Shut up.
Out of the way.
Just a minute, Mr. Barshi. You have my word for it. The boys are gone.
Your word.
Come out, Frank and Jesse James. Come out or we'll come in and pull you out.
Their mother's bad sick in bed and her heart won't stand you mules stomping through the house.
Are you going to let this old goat make a fool out of you?
He says they ain't fair.
I ain't.
Well, I got a way to find that out.
Lynch, bring me that mushmelon.
Major!
The Major's telling the truth.
If you ain't out of there in 1 minute with your hands up, I'm going to blow you out.
No, wait, you think I'm lying?
Major! They can come in. Let them.
A light falls to the floor.
Look, there's somebody in there. What did I tell you?
The mother, I tell you!
Barshi throws a bomb through the window. A little later, men are frantically trying to put out the fire tearing through the house. Mrs. James is lying on the ground outside. While a woman tenderly dabs her face with a cloth, the Major looks down on her sadly.
No use. She's dead. This is bad. Mighty bad.
I'm sure sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry too.
Oh, I wasn't talking about her.
She's gone.
It's you I'm sorry for.
Now, the Major's niece is following Pinky up a steep slope on horseback. Jesse appears.
Z.
Frank!
Frank!
Yeah?
It's Z!
Z!
They rush to greet her.
Hardly believe my eyes.
Frank!
How are you, Z?
I've worried so about you all.
About us?
How's everybody? How's everything at home? How's Ma?
Jesse.
Ma? What happened?
Bashi.
You mean she's dead?
Z nods.
Oh, Jesse.
As Z clings to him, Jesse looks across at Frank.
Well, let's go.
Bye, honey.
Well, Jesse, don't you go.
I've got to.
Oh, no, Jesse, please.
Can't help it, Z. I just got to.
Let Frank.
Sorry, honey.
Frank, make him.
Take care of her.
What about me?
I'm the one he did it to, because I shot him.
Go ahead. If you don't get him, I will.
Might be a long time before I see you again, Z.
I can wait.
Bye, honey.
Bye, Jesse.
Frank and Z watch solemnly as Jesse heads off down the steep slope from their hideout. Now it's daytime, and Jesse trots into town with a group of men. He dismounts and turns to his companions.
Just keep anybody from bothering me, that's all.
As Jesse approaches the Dixie Bell Saloon, a man standing on the veranda races off. Jesse heads inside, where Barshi and his cohorts are drinking. Barshi goes for his gun.
Keep your hands in sight. Bartender, count three and duck.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute, Jesse. It was an accident, I swear it was.
Count.
No, no, I can explain it. I didn't know she was there, I swear it.
Keep your hands in sight. One.
No. No, Jesse!
Two.
One of Barshi's gang aims at Jesse, who shoots him, then Barshi. A man runs out, and the saloon door swings on its hinges. Jesse leaves, walking backwards, his gun still pointed at Barshi's stunned men. Next, a proclamation is pinned to a board. It's a reward notice offering $1,000 for information leading to the arrest of Jesse James, wanted for murder. Now, smoke billows from the huge funnel sitting prominently on a steam engine. Crowds of onlookers gaze at it in wonder and curiosity. A banner attached to the newly built station reads, "All aboard for the St. Louis Midland." The railroad trustees are standing in a formal pose, waiting to have their photograph taken. Platform guard waves the train on, and it slowly starts to pull away from the station, letting out white jets of steam and smoke as it edges forward. The people crammed into the carriages wave goodbye to those on the platform. The locomotive builds up speed and is soon making its way along the new track, cutting through the countryside. Concealed in the shadows of a steep embankment, Jesse ties a bandana around his mouth and nose. He leaves only his dark eyes visible under the brim of his hat. He sets off down the slope and gallops after the speeding train. He steers his horse onto the tracks where it almost stumbles. It recovers and carries on after the train at a breathtaking pace. He catches up to the last carriage and reaches out for a handle, then hauls himself onto the moving vehicle. He peers in through the window, but the passengers are oblivious to his presence. He clambers onto the roof and starts moving up the train. He's cast in silhouette by the early evening light. He leaps from one carriage to the next, his death-defying jumps in stark contrast to the comparative luxury the passengers are travelling in. Finally, he reaches the locomotive and points his gun at the driver and engineer.
Hands up! Keep right on driving until I tell you to stop.
What are you aiming to do, partner?
I ain't aiming to do nothing. I'm doing it. I'm holding up this train.
The whole train?
Slack up at this next curve. Stop at just this side of that clump of trees around the bend.
It's your funeral, partner.
The train gradually slows down, white smoke billowing from its funnel. Grouped on the embankment are Frank and a gang of men. They pull bandanas over their faces and wait for the train to come to a stop. Frank carries a guard along the trackside to one of the carriages.
Unhitch it!
Inside.
If you know what this is, folks, it's a holdup. Stay in your seats! Keep your hands in sight. And the general just throwed his pocketbook and the spittoon will kindly take it out and wipe it clean before we get to him.
No jewelry, folks, just cash.
It's every cent I've got in the world.
Just teaching us to ride on the St. Louis Midland Railroad. Thank you, sir. No, ma'am, no jewelry. Thank you. Just the same, though. That's very nice of you, sir. It's a fine-looking pocketbook. Thank you very much, lady. And don't forget to sue the railroad for everything you give us, because it's responsible. Thank you very kindly, sir.
Just drop it in the sack and nobody will get hurt. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Have your wallets ready by the time the gentleman gets to you.
Thank you, brother. Don't take all day. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. Thank you kindly.
A railroad trustee.
You'll hear about this.
No back talk. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Frank gets on his horse.
Everybody sit quiet and nobody will get hurt. All right, let's go. Lights out.
Now excitement erupted on the trackside as the St. Louis Midland pulls into a station. Horses rear up and men cheer in the pandemonium. A cool and detached looking man arrives on horseback and dismounts. A guard is talking enthusiastically to someone on the platform.
And then he stuck a pistol as big as a cannon right there and says, "Brother, we want that mail safe."
Where was the protection we're entitled to? Where was the law?
Just a minute, Cap. I'm just a law and liberty. I don't cover the whole United States. Now, if you want to give me a description of these men...
You know as well as I do who it was. Jesse James. Who else picks on my road? Who else would have the nerve?
Sure it was, but you don't have to yell about it. I'm not deep.
Marshal Will Wright looks mildly amused. Shots are fired into a poster advertising a $5,000 reward for Jesse, dead or alive.
What's that?
The Major and Z see Jesse at the window of their house.
Look! It's him!
Z hurriedly opens the door for Jesse, then draws the curtains.
Well, you crazy son of a gun.
How are you, Major?
Oh, Jesse, you're just asking to be caught. Don't you know they're looking all over the county for you?
Sure. How about a cup of coffee?
Yeah, the marshal's got 30 men out looking for you, son.
Oh, and all this rain, too. Poor boys.
It's no joke, Jesse.
Oh, it's all right, honey. I ain't gonna stay long. And the way I figure it out is as long as they keep running around out there, in here's the safest place for me.
Go on, sit down, leave the man alone.
But he's taking chances. If I could just think of some way to let you know how wrong you are.
It's no use, honey. It's just like I always told you. I hate the railroads. And when I hate, I've got to do something about it.
That's the stuff. People ain't hating nowadays like they used to. They're getting soft. I got to admit that I like a man that hauls off and hates good and hard. It's the lawyers, God dang it. It's the lawyers are messing up the whole world. But 10 years ago here in Liberty, we didn't have no lawyers, and we got along fine. Man killed somebody, and then somebody killed him, and the marshal shot them all, and that was the end of it. But look at it today. Right here in Liberty, we got hundreds of lawyers, thousands of them. As far as the eye can see, nothing but lawyers.
Uncle Ruth, there are only 2 lawyers in Liberty.
Huh? 2? Is that all? Then they run around too much. God dang it, I'm gonna write me an editorial about that. Roy!
Yes, sir?
Make an editorial on lawyers.
Liars?
Now that'll do. We'll begin easy. Paragraph. If we are ever to have law and order in the West, the first thing we gotta do
is take out all the lawyers and shoot them down like dogs. Paragraph.
They're bound to get you someday, Jesse.
Jesse peeks behind the curtain and Zee comes to rest her head on his shoulder.
That's why I hate to see you go out that door. Because I keep thinking of you all the time out there in the hills. Just going on and on to nowhere. Just trying to keep alive. And everybody after you, wanting to kill you to get that money. And Jesse, sometimes at night when it's cold and raining, I wake up crying. Because in a dream I saw you lying dead in the mud. Oh, Jesse, I'm so scared.
Jesse puts his arm around her.
You're the only one that it matters to, Z, one way or the other. You're the only one that means anything to me. I know it was a fool thing to come here, but I never knew how much I did want to see you until I saw you.
Marshal Will Wright walks into the newspaper office.
Just that blamed outrage!
Hi, how are you feeling?
Hello, Will. I thought you was,
What? Is, Z inside?
Well, she is,
Good evening, Z.
Evening, Will. I thought you went out with the posse.
I did. I just got back.
Did you catch him?
Will steps towards the table.
This is Mr. Howard, Will. Mr. Thomas Howard, an old friend of ours. This is the United States Marshal, Mr. Wright.
How do you do, Mr. Howard? How do you do?
Mr. Howard's from St. Louis.
Yes? Why, I used to live in St. Louis. What business you in, Mr. Howard?
Guns. Guns and horses.
Guns and horses, eh? No, we didn't catch him. You couldn't find a white elephant on a night like this.
She used to know Jesse James, you ever tell you?
They kind of grew up together. Funny thing about it, she's told me so much, I almost feel knowing myself.
You do?
Good biscuits, you make them, Z?
Uh-huh.
Try one, Mr. Howard.
Will and Jesse look into each other's eyes.
I don't mean that it ain't after me, understand? I'm still a peace officer if we ever come on each other in the right place. It's just going to be me or him, one or the other.
I understand.
What I'm hoping is either he'll stop messing around my district or else keep out of my way. Because it'll save Z some hurt. Either way.
You know your job, I guess.
I know it, and I'm good at it. I'm just as good at my job as he is at his. That's why I'm saying the next time either I'm going to blow his head off or he's going to blow mine. I got a little business up the road a piece. Take me about an hour. Maybe I'll drop in again later if your light's on.
All right, Will.
Good night, Horace Greeley.
Good night, Will.
I don't expect I'll be seeing you again.
No, I don't expect so.
Take care of yourself.
Will heads out. The moment he's gone, the Major hastily pours himself a large drink.
Whew. You've got a better grade of law around here than it used to be.
Don't waste time, Jesse. Go now.
I think I better go that way. Let me blow out the light. I don't want to be a target.
Yes.
Will is hiding behind a tree outside when Z comes to the front door with Jesse. He stands on the front step, then kisses her before heading off looking furtive. Z watches him go with a longing expression. Will steps out of the shadows and walks towards Z, who looks lost in thought. She only becomes aware of his presence when he speaks.
Is that why you won't marry me?
She nods.
I can't help it, Will.
Now, Will and the deputy are with a body lying face down in a muddy pool.
Well, let's load him on a horse and take him to town.
The two men ride into town with the body slung across the back of the deputy's horse. Z comes out of the newspaper office and watches their progress anxiously, wringing her apron in her hands.
Hey, one of you fellas come here and give me a hand.
Now get back out of the way, you youngins. This ain't no place for you. Get over on the other side.
Is that...
No, ma'am. We didn't get the jackpot this time.
They keep on running up that price, and one of Jesse's own men's lab will take a shot at
them. Yeah, some of them fellas had scalped their own mall for a lot less than $5,000. Now let him down on this side.
Now Jesse gallops past a lake, then dismounts and runs into Z's waiting arms.
Are you really as pretty as I think you are?
Oh, Jesse, read this. Read it. Will arranged it. I asked him to.
I can't do that, Z.
Why not?
I trust Will, but...
He's given his word. He's promised. He'll see that it works out all right. Jesse, listen. It isn't only now, although that's bad enough. It's what's going to happen to you, inside of you. You understand? I mean, right now you're a hero to yourself and a lot of other people, too. It's a fight you're in, and it's the railroad that started it. But that's not going to last, Jesse. The more luck you have, the worse you'll get. Shooting and robbing, it'll get in your blood, Jesse. You'll get like a wolf. Just doing it because it's your nature. That'll be your appetite for shooting and robbing. Until something happens to you. And if anything ever happened to you, Jesse, it'd be like it was happening to me, too. Oh, darling, there's only one way out. Come in. Give. Let me draw a free breath of you.
He rests her head on his shoulder. Jesse gently touches her hair, looking torn.
I can't see. I'd go crazy in prison. I couldn't do it. But if we went away now...
That's all there is to it, Jesse. Bye.
But Z, please.
Good luck.
As Z prepares to ride off, Jesse runs over and grabs the reins.
Z, you said you'd wait.
However long it took.
Would you marry me now, before?
Today, if you want me to.
And that's the way, I guess.
The only way.
She slips off her horse into his arms, and they embrace. Now, the gang follow on horseback as Jesse and Z travel in a carriage towards a whiteboard church. Z is wearing a white dress and bonnet and is carrying a bouquet of wild flowers. Jesse's dressed in a clean suit. Jesse brings the carriage to a halt and jumps across Z in order to help her down. Inside the church, a service is taking place.
And then the prodigal son come home to his ma and pa.
The preacher sees the gang.
Welcome, brothers and sister.
Thank you, sir.
Sit down.
Just find a seat anywhere.
Could we get hitched?
The preacher looks bewildered.
Huh?
Married.
You ain't eloping, are you?
How's that?
Oh, no, sir. I'm grown.
And we're in a kind of hurry, if you don't mind.
Oh, your brothers?
I have no brothers.
Sorry. What's your name, sister?
Zerelda Cobb.
And your son?
Jesse Woodson James.
Jesse Woodson? Jesse James?
Thank the Lord.
Sit down.
Yes, sir, and we don't want no trouble.
Trouble? Why, son, you're as welcome as rain to the flowers. Do you realize, boy, that I had a farm giving 900 bushels of corn until that railroad had taken it from me? Why, I'd given up preaching and was making an honor until that dag swing railroad swindled me out of my own home.
That's true, Mr. James.
By golly, son, do you know I had a big house, 2 barns, 3 outhouses, until that gall-danged railroad hunswoggled me. All right. We're gathered here to join Zerelda Cobb and Jesse Woodson James in the bonds of holy matrimony.
Now Jesse rides up to Will.
Howdy, Jesse.
Howdy, Will.
I guess Z explained things. She said they're willing to go light. From the way they talk, they're so glad to get rid of you, they're liable to make you a conductor on the road. What do you think I'll get? 2, 3 years, maybe 5. It won't be much. All they're charging you with is that little old Deepport Pine Hills that you knocked over last April. That one they got proof on. I'm much obliged for all you've done. Don't mention it. Shall we go?
The two men set off together. As they ride into town, people see them arriving and scurry after them. They come to a halt and dismount.
Is it all right, Jesse?
Will and Jesse head into a building, and Will holds back a group of men who try to follow them in. Inside, people look surprised to see them.
Howdy, Jesse.
Howdy, Jesse.
Howdy, Jesse.
Howdy.
Judge.
Howdy, Jesse.
Major.
You ain't got no more guns on you, have you?
Nope.
All right.
You're doing the wise thing, son.
Am I?
Well, Judge Matthews here is going to try your case, son. You can trust him, all right.
I'm aiming to go as light as the law allows. When you come out, the slate will be clean. The past will all be forgotten.
Thank you, Judge.
Well, Jesse, if you're ready.
Well,
He looks back at Z.
All right, Jesse. Away.
Will, Jesse, Z, and some others head into the next room, and the door closes behind them.
You ain't worried, are you, kid? I can do it on my head. Good boy.
Z and Jesse wrap their arms around each other.
Not my darling. My wife.
My husband. Oh, I'm proud of you, dear. Proud of you.
Bye, Z. Goodbye.
They kiss, then gaze into each other's eyes.
I'll be waiting.
They kiss again, then Z leaves. Jesse watches her go, then, with an air of acceptance, turns and walks to the cell behind him. The jailer closes the barred door behind him. Jesse stands in the center of the small cell, then takes off his coat.
Yes, sir, you can go right in.
It's the railroad trustee.
Mr. James?
Oh. I'm Mr. McCoy, president of the railroad.
Oh, yes, I know who you are, Mr. McCoy.
I just want to welcome you and tell you how glad I am to see you here in jail.
As he walks out, chuckling, Jesse looks troubled and clings to the bars of his cell. His brow furrows. Now, a notice pinned to a board reads, Proclamation. The District of Liberty is hereby declared to be under martial law pending the trial of outlaw Jesse James. Soldiers on horseback ride into town. Will bursts into an office.
Now, from this point...
What's all this soldier business?
Oh, this is Mr. Wright, the peace officer here. Mr. Clark, the state prosecutor.
How do you do? Well?
Well, we're going to try to hang our lawless friend, of course.
Before or after the trial?
Well, the penalty for murder is death, isn't it?
That wasn't the idea.
The idea?
That wasn't the idea you gave me or James or the girl. What became of that?
Now, get this straight, Wright. When you're dealing with a criminal, anything goes. Anything that'll trap him. James is a thief and a murderer. The most notorious bandit and outlaw in America. He has burned my property, robbed my trains, and scared people out of riding in my cars. 3 years ago, I swore he'd hang for what he'd done, and by the Almighty, he is going to hang.
That still ain't the way things are done around here.
Just a minute. You're a peace officer, aren't you?
But not a skunk. You explain all this to Judge Matthews?
It won't be necessary, my boy. He's been superseded by Judge Rankin of St. Louis, who's not so sentimental about train robbers. He arrives tonight. The trial's tomorrow morning. Anything else?
A nice frame, eh?
And while we're about it, Marshal, it might be better for you if you drop this role of attorney for the defense and confined yourself to the duties of your office.
Who, me?
Any interference on your part.
It ain't me you gotta worry about.
What do you mean?
Suppose Jesse don't want to be hanged.
The Major.
Roy, stop the press. Take a new editorial on railroad presidents.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph. If we are ever to have law and order in the West, the first thing we got to do is take out all the railroad presidents and shoot them down like dogs. Paragraph.
Where's Z?
Where you been?
Up the Pine Ridge, send me. Where's Z?
Z?
Yes.
She's out.
Out where?
Well, she set out. I wouldn't want this to go any further, you understand?
I understand.
Well, she set out for the hills.
Alone?
Not exactly alone. She was being guided by a donkey named Pinky on a mule named Stinky.
I see.
Ooh. Pinky gets off his mule and gingerly approaches the doors of the courthouse.
Halt! Who goes there?
It's me, Pinky.
All right, Pinky, what do you want?
I've got a letter here from Mr. McCoy.
Gimme. A letter from Mr. McCoy.
Is you sure he'll get it, sir?
He'll get it.
Yes, sir.
For Mr. McCoy.
Mr. McCoy. For Mr. McCoy. We want the trial to get started as early as possible.
McCoy reads the letter.
Judge, read that.
Listen.
Mr. McCoy, if Jesse ain't out of jail by midnight, I'm a-coming in and get him. Frank James.
Well, that gives us an hour and a half.
But the nerve of him.
Oh.
What ails you?
It's this note.
What about it?
I don't know if you gents know it or not, but, well... Both these James boys does things.
What are you driving at?
I've known Frank James a long time. And when he says he aims to do something, he's liable to come putting near doing it.
Now, what on earth do you think he can do?
He says he's going to take Jesse out of here.
I wish he'd try it. We'd grab him, too.
Of course we would. You're crazy.
He's a mighty set man, Frank is.
McCoy dismisses him, but the old man looks warily at the clock. It's 11:15. Now, Will strides into the attorney's office.
Have you heard about this ridiculous note?
The word's got around.
You mean everybody knows about it?
Everybody I met. And they all regard it as a very interesting situation.
Interesting? Why, it's preposterous. What do they think a few ragged pants bandits can do? Don't they know this is a brick jail surrounded and guarded by United States soldiers? Don't they know we could hold this jail against an army of outlaws?
They do. That's what makes it so interesting. But they know, too, that both the James boys are mighty set in their ways. Mighty set.
That's what I told him.
Didn't I tell you to shut up? How many deputies have you got?
6 on call, but I can swear in as many more as you want.
That's it. That's what we'll do. We won't wait for the rascal. We'll go out and get him.
Well, we could try.
You think he'll really come? Well, don't you?
Oh, sure. He wouldn't fool around about a thing like this. He's probably on his way now.
Well, let's not waste time. Swear in some good men surround the town. Tell them to take him dead or alive. Tell them to shoot first and ask questions later. Tell them...
Am I telling you how to run your railroad?
What do you mean?
Then don't try to tell me how to take a man.
Just a minute, Marshal. Where are you going?
Going to swear in some good men.
Wait, I'll go with you. I'm not a bad hand at picking men myself.
Whatever you say, Cap, is exactly what I'm going to do.
Turn out all your men. Cover the whole town. It's an utterly ridiculous situation. But by cracky, I'm not going to take any chances.
Mighty, mighty set.
In the saloon.
$5. 1 to 3, he will. $10, he won't.
$12 even money either way. I've got $10, one to five, that Frank James will bite Mr. McCoy in the leg.
Will attempts to attract everyone's attention.
Gentlemen, I want some deputies, some volunteer deputies who've got to be able to shoot straight the first time, or else.
For Frank?
For whoever I say. But if anybody here's got a mercenary streak, I might add that Mr. McCoy here is talking about doubling the pot for whoever rings the bell.
$10,000?
All right, boys, line up the bar so we can get a look at you.
I'm your deputy.
You and you. Ed, you all right? Bill, get over there. You. And you. And you. And you. Charlie, you're a good man with a gun.
I don't like that. What's the matter with the big fellow then?
Well, nothing that I know of.
And him.
All right. And you.
And these two.
All right, you're the doctor. All right, men, face me, raise your right hands, and take the oath. Up a little higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Now it's 3 minutes to 12. McCoy is in the attorney's office, puffing on a cigar and staring at the clock nervously in spite of himself. The atmosphere in the room is thick with tension. McCoy starts pacing with his hands behind his back. He raps on the desk with his knuckles, then carries on pacing. The old man is whittling some wood with a blade, but stops and puts both down when McCoy glowers at him.
Wild goose chase.
I don't care how many he brings. He won't be able to get to town, much less this building.
Oh, the whole thing's a bluff.
Well, it's 12 o'clock. Nothing's happening.
You. I couldn't help it. I'm just nervous, that's all. Frank said he was going to give it to 12 to let Jesse out. And if he wasn't out by then... That's Jesse.
Well, stop him.
I'll stop him, but it won't do no good. It's dead certain Frank's coming now. And Jesse feels it. That's the way them boys is.
The jailer lets himself into the cells.
No matter what happens tonight, fire or flood... I'm going to have that man fired tomorrow.
Now it's 5:05, and Z is serving the major some breakfast.
Major!
Z! They got him.
Frank?
Yeah, they jumped him in the woods.
Who? Who got him?
Two of them deputies.
Oh, them gall dang, dat blasted, gall burned deputies, right?
Yes, sir.
McCoy comes into the attorney's office just as Frank is brought in.
Ah, I just want to thank the young man for simplifying one of our worst problems. Take him in there.
Soldiers follow them into the next room.
I sure am sorry, Frank. Any guns on you?
I got it.
I sure wasn't looking for this. Come on, son.
Frank.
Will steps up to Frank and looks at where the sleeve of his shirt has been ripped off.
Sorry.
It's all right, Marshal.
You understand, this ain't any of my doing. I just want you and Jesse to know that all the honor and credit for this victory of law and order goes to Mr. McCoy.
We understand.
Is that all, Marshal?
That's all, thank you.
Then get out of here. Get out and stay out. For a peace officer, your attitude has been incredible, and make no doubt it'll be reported to the governor tomorrow.
You mean you won't want me anymore tonight?
Neither tonight or any other day or night.
Is that official?
It is.
Sorry, Will, we didn't aim to get you over a barrel.
Forget it, son. The way I figure, that barrel's gonna be mighty crowded before this night's over. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Marshal.
Pretty smart, aren't you?
You ought not to have done this, Mr. McCoy.
No?
You ought not to try to trick Jesse and me when we were trusting you. You ought to kept your word.
Oh, the way you're going to keep your word?
Sir?
Well, you said you were going to take Jesse out of here.
But I am.
Hey, Jesse?
That you, Frank?
It's me. You all right?
You're a cool one.
Getting along just fine, Frank.
He'll be glad to see you, too.
Lock the door, Tom.
Soldiers!
Take it easy, boy.
Now untie me. No noise, understand? We don't aim to kill a soul if we can help it, but the first man that hollers, all you gotta do is to keep your hands up and your mouth shut. Everything's gonna be all right.
You'll never get away with this in the world.
I knowed it and I told you.
Lay down.
Lay down or be shot down.
Frank is with Jesse and the jailer in the cells.
What happened? Mr. McCoy was kind enough to deputize Tom and Hank.
On purpose?
I guess he just didn't have any better sense.
Jesse heads into the next room.
What is this, a game? Grown men playing on the floor like children.
Ain't it the truth?
They wouldn't have it any other way.
Jesse grabs a hold of McCoy.
Remember that?
The letter offering Jesse a minimal jail sentence.
Remember it?
Don't kill me.
I ain't. Not with a gun. And brother, I'm gonna worry you to death. Now chew. See how it tastes. And swallow. Chew!
You look like a man that's got good sense.
Just name it, friend, and I'll do it.
You'll do it if you don't want your pants full of lead.
All you gotta do is name it.
Give him a glass of water as soon as we're gone to wash it down.
Everybody set? All you gotta do is to throw that door open when I say the word and then step back.
You don't have to tell me to step back.
Don't hurt nobody, you know. Come on, don't forget to throw a few rounds down the street just for the fun of it. Ready? Open it.
Jesse and the gang race out of the building and leap onto their waiting horses. One member jumps under a cart.
Stop him! Stop him! Hurry! Hurry! Here! Man over there! Get after them! Get after them! Come on! Everybody!
Z to the major.
Goodbye, Uncle Wolf.
Goodbye, honey. I don't blame you.
He leads her through to the back room.
Jesse played fair. He did everything he promised. So you gotta keep your part of the bargain. And stick to him, honey. Cause you're the only hope there is for him.
I'll stick, all right.
Miss Z, has we got everything?
Oh, I think so, Pinky.
Yes.
Goodbye, Uncle Wu.
Goodbye, honey.
Let's go.
Meanwhile, Frank and Jesse gallop through a gap in some fencing at breakneck speed, followed shortly after by a posse of men in pursuit. Their horses leap over a fence and hurtle up a slope. Some of their pursuers hesitate at the fence, but soon they're gaining on the brothers. The chase continues across open ground. A soldier in the posse brings out his gun and fires, felling Jesse and his horse.
Gosh, son, play Pony Express.
Frank hauls Jesse onto the back of his horse and they set off again. Their progress is slower, though, and the posse is getting ever closer, firing off random shots at the brothers. Jesse and Frank constantly look behind them as they gallop across the countryside, sending up clouds of dust from the rough ground. Jesse reaches into a saddlebag and starts throwing handfuls of money into the air. A dozen or so of their pursuers immediately stop to gather up the notes. Jesse keeps throwing away the cash, and one man grabs a tree bearing a rich bounty of the paper money. Jesse and Frank look down at the men scrabbling in the dust.
Well, I guess they'll be busy there for a while.
A new poster is put up. A $25,000 award is being offered for Jesse, dead or alive. Frank is worth $15,000. Z comes to the front door of a log house and holds up a lamp. Jesse scurries towards her and they hurry inside.
Darling.
Z.
Oh, darling. Darling.
They kiss and hold each other tightly.
Just let me look at you.
Later, Pinky's washing the dishes.
You like the curtains?
They're just as pretty as they can be.
I made them.
He kisses her nose.
Oh, my goodness, see, I never expected ever to have a house as nice as this one.
I made that, too.
God bless our home. Say, that's better than you can get in a store, Z. That's a mighty pretty frame, too.
Oh, Pinky made that.
Huh? Good work, Pinky.
Thank you, Mr. Jesse.
Oh, it sure is fine, Z. The whole place. I'm just as proud of you as I can be.
At the sound of a wagon outside, Jesse immediately looks suspicious and draws his gun. Jesse goes to the window while Z opens the front door.
Hello?
Evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
I'm looking for the Wilsons. Do you know where they live?
About a mile on up the road.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah.
Pack.
Yes, sir.
Jesse.
Pack, we're getting out of here.
But it was only a farmer.
How do you know?
Jesse strides into the bedroom, leaving Z devastated and gazing forlornly at the cozy home she's made. Now, a Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Howard sign the register of a Kansas City hotel, stating their residence as Sioux City. A letter for Mrs. Thomas Howard has been posted to Sedalia, Missouri, and the same couple sign into a Texan hotel, apparently residents of St. Louis. Now a wooden mailbox has been painted with the words Thomas Howard, Route No. 5, St. Joseph, Missouri. Will is sitting anxiously at the bottom of some stairs. He stands up as a doctor carrying a medical bag comes down the stairs.
How is she now?
She's weak, of course. Only. You're a friend of Mr. Howard's, aren't you?
You might say so.
You any idea of where he is?
He travels a lot.
Salesman?
Something like that.
Well, you can tell him for me. Any husband who would stay away from a wife at a time like this, I can't say I've got any use for him.
There's a lot in what you say.
You can go up, but don't stay long.
The major's at Z's bedside.
That dad blamed us. Cutest little cuss that ever. Now, honey, you mustn't blame Jesse for not getting here. Maybe he just couldn't get away.
It doesn't matter.
Well, honey, you shouldn't feel that way about it.
I can't help it. I'm too tired to care. This is the way it always is. We live like animals. Scared animals. We move. We hide. We don't dare go out. All day and all night we just sit. Scared of a shadow in a window. Scared of a footstep on a porch. Scared of a door opening. And when he's away, it's worse. All I can think of is he dead? Is he lying dead in the mud in the woods? Maybe he's dead now. Oh, Uncle Rufe, I want to go home.
You're home, Z. This is your home. Yours and Jesse's.
I mean home with you. Back to Lindley. Will you take me?
But, honey, doggone it, I... But Jesse promised.
Yes, I know. And I used to believe him. But he'd never change. Jesse will be an outlaw as long as he lives. I know it now. He's wild, Will. He's like a horse you can't break. He's crazy with wildness, and there's nothing either you or me or him or anybody else can do about it. That's why all last night I wanted to die. I prayed and prayed that I'd die. And my baby, I prayed that he'd die too and end it all. My darling. Mommy didn't mean that, honey. Oh, my precious baby. Mommy didn't mean that, honey.
That's all right, honey. I'll take you home.
Will heads out, and the Major blows his nose into a handkerchief. Jesse races into the house.
Hi, Pinky.
Hi, Mr. Jesse.
See?
From Mr. Jesse.
Yes?
She's gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Find the baby.
The baby? Gone.
Yes, sir.
Were they all right?
Yes, sir. They're all right, both of them. But she's gone now. The major come and took him away back to Liberty. But she has a letter she gave me to give to you, sir.
Jesse quickly unfolds the letter, which reads, "I'm sorry, Jesse, but I can't stand any more. Don't follow me, because I won't come back. Z. P.S. I'm calling the baby after you. He weighs 6.5 pounds. Z. Jesse looks devastated and slumps onto a seat.
Poor kid. I tried to get here, Pinky, but I just couldn't. They got after me and... Did you see him?
Mr. Jesse, you're the cutest little old thing I ever did see. Jesse yelling and hollering so it nearly bust your ears. I bet he's the loudest yelling baby that ever was born.
What color eyes he got, Pinky?
Blue. Red, big old blue eyes, big as a saucer, looking right at you, sir.
Does he look like Z?
Like you.
No.
He's the spitting image of you, Mr. Jesse.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Except me, he's bald. He's bald as a peel egg. But my goodness, Mr. Jesse, that sure is one cute little old baby.
I love you, doggone.
Just yelling, waving little old arms.
Doggone.
Yes, sir, we're all mighty proud of that baby.
Lord, Lord. Well, I guess we better go after him, Pinky. When did they leave?
They left Monday.
On the train?
No, sir, in the major's buggy.
Oh, I don't like that. We'll have some supper and then we'll go after him.
But, Mr. Jesse.
Yes?
I don't know if I'd go after him right now.
No, why not?
They got that Mr. Wright with him.
Wright?
Yes, sir, the police marshal. He come too.
Jesse simmers with anger.
I see. Never mind the supper, Pinky. We'll start right now.
You mean after him?
Yes, right now.
Now it's daytime, and Jesse and Pinky arrive at a river. They get off their horse and mule and allow them to drink. Jesse busies himself tightening his saddle, but looks distracted and keeps his head lowered.
What did she say about being unhappy?
Just like I told you, Mr. Jesse. She says she's scared all the time, and I know she cried a lot. She says she don't know how she could stand it.
I see. I guess I can't blame her.
That's just what she says.
I
guess it was pretty bad for him.
Yes, I guess it was.
Jesse prepares to mount his horse.
Pinky, I'm not going any further.
You mean you ain't going after him?
I've changed my mind. She's right. There ain't any happiness to be found with me. If you can find it at all, it's without me.
Yeah.
Tell her that. Tell her I ain't gonna bother her anymore. If she can be happy now, I'm glad. Tell her that.
Yes, sir.
And Pinky, tell her.
Yes, sir.
Tell her not to let the baby know anything about me. I won't mind.
Jesse rides away, and Pinky watches him forlornly. Now a newspaper headline reads, Jesse James robs St. Louis Midland. Train hold up nets large sum to James gang. Others read, Jesse James gang raids St. Louis Midland bank, and St. Louis Midland Express raided by Jesse James' gang. Meanwhile, the gang make daring escapes galloping across rivers and blow up train tracks. The major has a bandage wrapped around his head and chin.
Roy!
Yes, sir.
Take an editorial on dentists.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph. If we are ever to have a law and order in the West, first thing we gotta do is take out all the dentists.
A little boy comes into the office pulling a toy train.
Help! Help! Save me! Save me!
And shooting down like dogs.
Z and Will watch them playing for a while.
How old is he?
Just five.
You don't say. Mine's going on three. Wait a minute. Here, can you have a piece?
Yes.
The boy takes a sweet from a bag.
Ah, say thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ah, you're welcome. Wonderful child.
Thank you.
You the editor, sir? I am, sir. What can I do for you, my friend? I want to run this card in your next issue. George Remington, Remington Blowing Company, Philadelphia. Now at Dixie Bell Hotel. Uh-huh. How much, sir?
Oh, I guess about a dollar will cover it, Mr. Remington.
There you are.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Roy!
Yes,
accept
sir.
This, sir. By the way, didn't that fella Jesse James come from somewheres around here?
He did? Why?
Then I suppose that you're protesting against this amnesty offer by the governor, aren't you?
What amnesty offer?
Haven't you heard? Well, sir, it's an outrage. In Jefferson City the other day, a friend of mine, a banker, was telling me about it. The governor has promised amnesty, a clean pardon to any member of the James gang that will kill Jesse. And that's in addition to the reward.
Are you sure of that?
Positive, sir. But that makes the state a party to murder. Exactly what I say.
That rotten, filthy... Thank you, sir. Thank you for the news.
Not at all, sir. Not at all.
I just have time to get it into this week's edition.
See?
And an editorial.
Please, that don't prove anything. He might have got it all wrong.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. That's all over now.
Roy, you got that editorial on Dennis started yet?
Yes, sir.
Well, change it from Dennis to governors and finish it like the one I did last week on horse thieves, except this time it's governors.
The man who identified himself as Mr. Remington drives his carriage down a track and comes to a stop outside a simple house.
Nice day, isn't it?
I don't want to buy nothing.
I'm not selling anything. You're Mrs. Bob Ford, aren't you?
Well, I'm Mrs. Ford, all right, but if it's about my husband, I don't know anything. I ain't seen him in months.
He rid off with them James boys, and I ain't seen hair in a hide of him since.
It's not him I was looking for, Mrs. Ford. It's you. I got this here Liberty paper yesterday, and it's got some news in it that might interest you. And here's my card. That's all.
He cheerfully drives off. The moment he's gone, the grim-faced Mrs. Ford snatches up the card and newspaper and rushes into the house where Bob Ford has been hiding the whole time.
What is it?
You know I can't read.
The headline of a story reads, "Free pardon offer for killer of Jesse James."
What's it say?
Bob looks at the card, printed with the words George Runyon, Runyon Detective Agency. A handwritten note on the back reads, "If you are interested, I can be reached at the Dixie Bell Hotel under the name of George Remington."
Well?
Bob's eyes light up and he looks intrigued. Now Jesse and the gang.
The bank at Northfield, Minnesota is the strongest bank in the Northwest. It's wide open for us. We got $50,000 in gold in the safe. All we gotta do is walk in with a shovel and help ourselves. So that's what we're gonna do.
Well? Well, as a matter of fact, Jesse, I...
Well?
Well...
Hey, what is this anyhow? For more than a month, there's been something funny going on around here. Now, what is it?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jesse, we don't exactly know if we like this idea or not. One thing, that's a mighty strong bank at Northfield, and it's a long ways away. And for another...
Go on.
Well, I've been talking it over with some of the boys, Well, you're taking chances, Jesse, that we don't like. Now, I ain't no coward, and you know it. But some of the things you've got us into, it scared the living daylights out.
You're taking too many chances.
Shut up. Go on.
We all know you got your troubles.
Forget that.
And maybe you don't care if you get shot full of buckshot or not. But the way we feel about it, we got a lot of respect for you, Jesse, and you know it. But the way you're going on is just like you was trying to commit suicide.
Jesse knocks a chair to the floor.
Just who do you think you are?
Now listen, Jesse.
Go on, reach.
Frank gets up from his seat on the stairs.
Oh, you talked things over, did you? And who are you? The captain of this band? Who's handling these jobs, you or me or somebody else? Well, I'll tell you if you don't know, it's me. I'm doing it, see? And I'll ride up the Capitol steps if I feel like it.
Jesse looks at the other gang members.
So you talked it over, huh? Without me. Well, I don't like it. But it ain't the way I aim to have things. If that's the way you want it, I give you a leaf now, all of you, to talk it over again. Now. But outside. Go on, get out!
Now listen here, Jesse.
Yes, and you too. You talked it over with him. Think I need you? Any of you? You think I can't get 1,000 men to come in tomorrow morning with Jesse James? Well, if you don't, you're crazy. Now get out!
Jesse turns his back on the gang. Frank gestures slightly with his head, and the subdued men slowly make their way out of the room.
He acts like he's going crazy.
He gets worse every day.
I'll kill him for that if it's my last act.
Wait for me down the creek. I want to talk to him.
The four men move away, and Frank heads back inside. Jesse's pouring himself a drink from a flagon.
Well?
In the first place, Jesse, I just want you to understand I ain't as scared of you, and I ain't as scared of your guns. So if you get to feeling like shooting, you just start drawing, I'll start drawing too.
Is that what you came back to tell me?
No, that's just to clear your conscience if you get to feeling ornery.
I'll remember.
What I come back to tell you was, you're a skunk. Want to draw?
Go on.
You're mean, Jesse, and you're getting meaner every day. I don't know if you're going crazy or not, but sometimes it looks like it. Ever since you come back from St. Joe, it's been looking like it. For one thing, there ain't enough money in the world to take the chances you've been making us take the last year or two. And for another, you wouldn't be slapping an old friend like Tom and him a slow draw if he was in your right mind. So you're either crazy or you're a skunk. Go on and draw if you feel like it.
You go on.
You're my brother, Jesse, my kid brother, and I reckon I love you. But it ain't proven anything to let you get my head blowed off, or your own. I know how you feel about what happened after the baby was born. And I know you don't like to get talked to this way. But it's either this or see you get blamed right out of your pants. Somebody had to tell you before it was too late. So what do you figure you want to do about it?
I'm sorry, Frank.
Want me to fetch him back?
Can you?
Sure, I can.
Frank.
Hmm?
Much obliged.
You're welcome, kid.
Frank heads off, and Jesse's left looking troubled and agitated.
Jesse.
Bob.
It's me.
Come in.
Bob comes in the back door.
Where's everybody?
They'll be back after a while.
Bob smiles and goes to take out his gun, but his eyes widen with fear, and he reconsiders when he sees Jesse's guns strapped to either side of his chest in holsters.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Sit down.
Nothing's the matter.
Bob sits down nervously while Jesse massages the bridge of his nose.
I've been to see my wife.
I know.
The rest of the gang slowly file back in.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Holland.
Hi, Bob. I'm sorry. It's all right, Jesse. I understand. Northfield's all right with us.
Good. We'll get going at daylight. Northfield's 450 miles from here. We ought to make it by Friday. We'll hold up just outside of town overnight and jump the bank about noon on Saturday. And if it's as rich as they say it is, why, maybe we can all retire then. Sound all right to everyone?
Yes,
I'm with you, Jesse.
That's fine. Very fine.
Now, Detective Runyon bustles into the First National Bank of Northfield carrying a small black case. He's wearing a bowler hat and has a neat moustache and bow tie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Layworth?
Right over there, sir.
Thank you. Come here. Mr. Layworth?
Yes?
My card?
Oh, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Runyon. What can I do for you?
First, read this.
Runyon hands Layworth a note reading, Northfield National Bank at noon Saturday. Do not shoot me on Grey Horse, Ford.
What does it mean?
It's the James gang. They're on their way here.
Here? The James gang?
Mm-hmm.
The James gang? To rob my bank?
That's it.
Great thunder and hallelujah! That's ruin! They'll take everything! I've got $50,000!
Shh, easy, easy. There's no danger. Don't you see? I'm here.
Yeah, but...
Now, Jesse leads two of his gang on horseback over a bridge. All three are wearing identical long pale coats. They stop at a veranda and dismount, then take off their coats. Frank rounds a corner and unhurriedly rides his horse towards the bank. He halts just outside. He's also wearing a pale coat. He slings his reins over a post. More members of the gang ride into town, all dressed in the identical coats. They stop at a different location not far from the bank. Two dismount, but Bob Ford stays on his grey horse. He looks around suspiciously, remaining in the saddle. Frank and Jesse have engineered a chance meeting outside a shop.
Why, Cousin Bushrod.
Well, if it ain't Cousin Beauregard.
Howdy, cousin. How are you?
Well, I'll be doggone.
Beauregard ain't seen you in a coon's age.
Come on in the bank with me. I gotta change some money. How's Aunt Mary Lou? How's the twins?
As the cousins head into the bank, the rest of the gang slowly advance on the building in what seems to be a well-rehearsed plan. As they approach the counter, Runyon and Leyworth are spying on them from the manager's office. Runyon nods with satisfaction. A gang member takes up position outside the bank. Bob Ford is still on his horse. At the sound of the ringing bell, the townsfolk scurry into action and the civilians in the bank hurry out. A man based in a building opposite aims a rifle at the doors. Frank and Jesse both look perturbed. They turn to the bank cashier, who's sitting stony-faced.
Change it for me, Colonel?
I'll have to get the money from the safe. Will you wait, please?
The cashier walks away, then quickly locks himself in the back room. A gun is fired and Jesse falls to the floor. More shots ring out as an ambush is launched on the James gang.
Holy smoke. God!
Tom and Frank help Jesse to his feet and they run out of the bank, firing at will. Tom is hit.
Come on, Tom, throw you. Come on, Jesse!
Frank and Jesse leap onto their horses and try to ride away, but the bridge has been blocked with a hay cart. Confronted by a hail of bullets, they try a different route, only to find that blocked as well. In desperation, the two men ride their horses through a plate glass window into a general store. They jump a table and ride out of the back door. A huge posse sets off in pursuit of them. The James brothers race alongside a river as the posse rounds a corner not far behind. As the brothers pass along shaded tracks and open land, the posse keeps up with them. The Jameses ride up a steep slope dotted with trees, then slow at the top. Jesse seems to be failing as the gunshot wound starts to sap his energy. The posse spreads out in order to tackle the incline. Jesse is barely conscious.
We gotta keep going, son. Hold on. Now hold tight, Jesse, because there's only one way out of here. Are you holding on?
Moments later, the brothers are in the river, crossing it with their horses, while the posse shoot down on them.
Jesse!
Their horses reach the other side of the river. Frank mounts his, but as Jesse's nowhere to be seen, he's forced to ride off alone. The posse search the trees.
Hurry up, boys, hurry up. He's in here somewhere.
Jesse's hiding in the river at the water's edge in the shade of the trees. He's partially hidden by low branches reaching out over the water. Fortunately, the posse miss him completely and run on along the bank. He looks around cautiously as Mr. Runyon returns and searches the foliage at the bank armed with a shotgun. Jesse dips his head under the water as the man hunts around in the branches directly above him. Runyon probes the leaves with his shotgun, peering through them, but soon heads away. As soon as he's gone, Jesse's head breaks the surface of the water. He slicks back his dark, wet hair, looking up through the branches and twigs that form a canopy above him. Now the major reads from a newspaper.
Of the 8 bandits who attempted the raid on the Northfield Bank, 2 are dead and 4 are prisoners. But of the 2 leaders, there is less definite news. Reports yesterday indicated that Frank James had made good his escape. But of Jesse James, there is no news at all. The belief is that he was drowned. But if he escaped, he is thought to be badly wounded and unable to travel far.
Oh, that blasted Golding City police. Roy!
Yes, sir?
I'm gonna write me an editorial.
If he escaped.
You gotta stop it, Z. You got to.
I know it.
He ain't the Jesse you knew and loved. That fella's gone. Gone a long time ago. I could have liked him too, but not this fella. Not this bad one. This one I could, well, if I ever come on him again.
If he escaped.
Can't you understand, Z? He's no good. It's like I told you that time. Once you let yourself go the way he did, you can't stop. He ain't a knight anymore fighting a bad railroad. He's a wild animal. You can't love him. Nobody can. Why? Everybody that liked him, he's done wrong to. And with his men gone, he hasn't a friend left. Not a friend in the world.
That's right, too, isn't it? Not a friend in the world.
Now a hay cart, pulled by a single white horse, draws up in the dark outside. The driver glances at the wooden house, looks around briefly, then calls down into his cart.
Hey. Hey, you. You. We're here.
The hay moves, then Jesse emerges. He looks around, grimacing with discomfort.
Thank you.
He pushes himself up and pays the man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Do you think you can make it?
Yeah.
Jesse clambers out over the side of the cart.
Do you need some help?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You go ahead. You do.
The man rides off, and Jesse steps towards the house's porch, hay covering his jacket. Now inside, he staggers into a bedroom and leans heavily on a wall. Light spills through a window over a large empty bed in the dark room. Jesse moves to the foot of the bed and holds the carved wooden posts to steady himself as he moves around it. Slowly, he takes his hat off, sets it down on a small bedside table, and sits on the edge of the bed. He winces in pain and clutches his side. He sinks down onto his other side, then turns onto his back and slowly lifts his legs onto the soft bed, one at a time. He lies with his eyes closed and his head resting on a large white pillow. Light fills the room as the door opens. Z rushes to him, shocked.
My poor, poor darling. My poor, hurt darling.
She kisses him on the lips, and he touches her shoulder.
Z, is it really you?
I knew if you could, you'd come here. That's why I came. I knew you'd come.
What's left of me?
But I'll get you well. Wait.
She goes.
Jesse. Hurry, Pinky, hurry.
Jesse opens his eyes and lifts his head. He frowns at the 5-year-old boy standing in front of him in night things, rubbing his weary eyes. Jesse looks emotional. His eyes glisten with tears.
Doggone.
He blinks heavily with a smile, then sinks back wearily onto his pillow.
It's Daddy, dear.
The boy goes to the bed and climbs up onto it. Jesse strokes the boy's brown hair tenderly with a smile on his swarthy face.
My son.
Jesse Jr. kisses his father's cheek.
Oh, Mommy!
Well, Daddy's been hurt, dear, but he'll be all right.
I'll be doggone. Doggone.
Don't you think he's big for five?
Jesse holds the boy's face in both hands.
Does he know anything about me yet?
No. Not yet.
Jesse turns to Z and puts his arm around her.
Z. Is it too late? Could we still go away?
To California? No, it isn't too late. We'll go just as soon as you get well. Pinky's going to get the doctor now. Oh, Jesse, I do love you so.
Z and the boy rest their heads on either side of Jesse's chest. A newspaper headline reads, "Defeat of James Gang at Northfield ends reign of terror in Midwest." The story begins, "Jesse dead, state believes, at end of 3 month search. Frank said to have fled the country."
Jesse, well, you mustn't do that.
Oh, go on, I'm all right.
But Pinky will take care of all that, darling.
Z. Kind of happy, ain't you?
Aren't you? Oh, Jesse, if we were just leaving today, this very hour.
Nothing's going to stop us, honey.
Oh, I hope not. But I'm scared, Jesse. I'll be scared every second until we're on our way. Maybe until we get to California.
Well, we won't have any money, remember? That money that I hid in the
hills. No, I don't want you to talk about that anymore. We'll make money. Money we won't be ashamed of.
Well, I wasn't ashamed of that.
Now, stop it, I say.
Mr. Howard.
Yes?
There's two gentlemen to see you, sir.
What do they want?
You knows them, sir.
Oh. All right. He's human, ain't he?
Jesse comes downstairs to meet them.
Well, sir, hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm all right, I reckon. How are you, Jesse?
I'm still toting some lead around inside of me, but it doesn't bother me any.
This here's my brother, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie. How are you? Oh, Pinky.
Yes.
Get some coffee.
Yes, sir.
Down, Bob. You look like you come a long way.
Huh? I escaped. They couldn't hold me. Me and two fellas you don't know jumped over a wall.
How'd you know where I was? We seen Frank. He sent us. That's what we come to see you about. How's Frank? Where is he?
He's fine. He's up in the hills. He's aiming to come down pretty soon. That's what he wanted us to see you about.
Jesse! Are you going to be long?
You remember Bob Ford, honey. That's his brother, Charlie.
How are you, Mrs. Z?
Are you going to be long?
Go on now, stop your fretting. I'll be up in just a minute.
What Frank wanted us to tell you, he says if you feel strong enough, he wants you to meet him. To the Flat Bank.
No. I'm going to California.
Frank's mighty anxious.
Sorry. My mind's made up.
Why, there ain't even a marshal in the town. There's a farm payroll there in the 7th. Frank's got 3 men that know the business. You don't think it'll be any trouble at all. Just walk in and take it.
Jesse gets up and wanders across the room to the foot of the stairs, deep in thought. In the bedroom, Z waits anxiously, clasping her hands together. Jesse looks over at Bob and Charlie and strides back to them. He shakes his head.
No.
Well, if you got plenty of money to get a start in California, you don't even need to think about it. But if you was to need a bankroll, why?
Jesse sits down.
I haven't got much money. Hardly any money at all.
Upstairs, Zee goes from the window and sits down, holding her hands against her forehead.
What else did Frank say?
He says it's the easiest job he ever seen. He says it won't take more than a day to look it over. And then if you're set on going to the coast, you got some money.
You sure could use some money.
The way this is, it's just like picking it up off the ground.
When do you want to meet me?
He says right away.
All right, come on in, but stop that hollering.
Frank figures we ought to clear about $2,000 apiece.
Sure could use $2,000.
Daddy, Daddy!
Those kids. Just a minute.
Now, excuse me, Mr. James.
Howard.
Are you going to walk around outside with them guns?
No. You're right.
He unbuckles his shoulder holster, puts it and the guns down, then leaves the room. Agitated, Zee goes to the window. Outside, Jesse dusts his son down.
We didn't hurt him, Mr. Howard. We just killed him. That's part of the game.
He's such a little fella, you shouldn't play so rough with him.
But that's the way you gotta play, outlaw. See, Jesse James has gotta die.
I'll die, but they stick me with sticks. Just shoot me, don't stick me.
Bang, 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 bang. You're Jesse James, you're dead.
I'm dead.
Jesse stares down at Jesse Jr., looking deeply troubled.
Go home, boys.
The boys walk away. Jesse picks his son up in his arms and carries him inside. He carries him across the living room, takes him up the stairs, and sets him down on his feet in the bedroom. He strokes Jesse Jr.'s face and shoots Z a troubled look.
Get him ready. We're catching the afternoon train. Pinky can follow with whatever we can't carry. That suits you.
Oh, thank goodness, Jesse.
Z takes her son into another room, and Jesse goes downstairs.
I'm sorry, Bob. Tell Frank I'm sorry, too, but I'll write to him from California.
You mean he ain't gonna come with us?
That's it. What'll Frank say to that? Can't make much difference what he says. I ain't going to him, and that's all there is to it. Bye, Charlie. Nice to meet you. Bye, Bob, and I'm sorry that you had to come all the way up here for nothing. What'll we tell Frank? Just tell him he better come join me while the joining's still good.
Oh, Mr. Howard, we've got to run, for we're going to California.
With the banjo on our knee. Honey, what can I do to help?
Oh, Jesse, that.
Oh, you bet your life. Zee.
He holds her chin.
Because we're going to California on the train this afternoon.
They kiss, and she hurries upstairs. Jesse stands on a chair to take a God Bless This Home tapestry down from the wall. Charlie peers in through the window and signals to someone with a grim nod. The door opens and Bob appears, holding his gun, trembling nervously. He aims at Jesse and fires. Jesse falls to the floor and the two men run.
Question about it. Jesse was an outlaw, a bandit, a criminal. Even those that loved him ain't got no answer to that. But we ain't ashamed of him. I don't know why, but I don't think even America is ashamed of Jesse James. Maybe it's because he was bold and lawless, like we all of us like to be sometimes. Maybe it's because we understand a little that he wasn't altogether to blame for what his times made him. Maybe it's because for 10 years he licked the tar out of 5 states. Or maybe it's because he was so good at what he was doing. I don't know. All I do know is he was one of the doggondest, gold
dinged us, dad blamed us buckaroos. The devil rode across these United States of America.
The Major unveils a simple memorial stone.
In loving remembrance, Jesse W. James died April 3rd, 1882. Age 34 years, 6 months, 28 days. Murdered by a traitor and coward whose name is not worthy to appear here.
The end.